Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Trying to get some sort of lighting going, you know?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. You know what to do, of course. You like what you hear, what you see, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. That way you'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you can keep up with your favorite artists, so you can discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please, while you're doing that, if you haven't already, give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. And we've had some great guests on lately, including MGMT. They got their new record, Loss of Life. Actor legend John Malkovich was here. Paloma Faith dropped by. I spoke with Kula Shaker, Slow Pulp, Daryl Johnson. You'll remember here from Drunk History and Punked. Aldous Hodge was also here. He's got a new movie, Marmalade. Mary Timoney, Natalie Morales from Self-Reliance. Matthew Vaughn, the director of The Kingsman and Argyle. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Luke Hemmings. It's great to have him back. You know him, of course, from 5 Seconds of Summer. He was on here just a couple years ago during their last album. Now he's back with more solo music. The new single is called Shakes. He's going to tell us why it was time to do another solo set, how his writing changes when he's not with the band, and continuing to work with producer Sammy Weitz, which also produced his first solo album, and how being in his late 20s with a sense of loneliness drives many of the new songs that he's writing. In fact, Luke says that he's tapped into the melancholy sounds of Damon Albarn, LCD Sound System, and the Cocteau Twins for inspiration. We're also going to dig into 5 Seconds of Summer's most recent tour and bringing out the giant dice that dictates which deep track they would play on any given night, as well as the group's plans to reconvene later in the year to start working on their next LP. All that and more, we're starting with the single Shakes. It's Kyle Meredith with Luke Hemmings.
Hey, how you doing? Great intro. Jeez.
Oh, thank you. It's well practiced at this point. Just insert name here. That's
absolutely nailing it. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you. We got to talk on the last Five Sauce album and run and everything. And since then, you've toured the world. And now we've got, once again, something from the solo set, a brand new song called Shakes. First off, it's great to see you again. It looks like you've had a big old career, big old year. You've had a good career too. So what brings us back here? What makes it time again to do the solo turn?
Yeah, good question. I think, well, the solo thing started in COVID when it was very isolated and the band had just put out their fourth album. So I sort of fell into it by accident. I always like thought, you know, I'd like to try something on my own, because when you're in a band, you're like, you know, at some point down the road, it'd be nice to like challenge myself and do something on my own. And COVID obviously, you know, made that happen much quicker than, you know, I would have anticipated. And I fell in love with that process and that challenge of doing it on my own. And it really unlocks like an emotion or this, I don't know, this ache inside me that I can sort of tap into again. So after we did the fifth band album, I think we were doing a lot of touring and moving about. And I think in the breaks and on the road and stuff, I don't know, I wanted to explore it more and to see how far I could push it on my own. We've talked before, and I just want to be just want to be as good as I can at what I do. And I really just it's just like working another muscle, doing the solo things. And it's very rewarding, and it helps me understand myself more as a person and as a musician and as a writer and all of that. So just wanted to see, I don't know, what else I could make of my own.
Does anything specifically change when it comes to the songwriting or the process?
Yes. Usually, well, for the band, it's very, for Five Sauce, it's very like, you have people to rely on, obviously. That the main difference is obviously that I'm on my own and I don't have people to rely on. I can't go, hey, Ash, hey, Callahan, like, how would you finish this or whatever it is. And usually when we write songs with the band, it's like you go somewhere, studio, house, wherever, and you sort of write the song that day, which is a great process. And it sort of leave most of it on the table on that day. And on my own, it's a bit chaotic. And it's very like songs sort of just live in my head in these little bits and pieces, because the feeling that I want to evoke and get across, and the emotion I want to get across, is very, well, it feels to me very specific. Like I want it to feel like I know what it feels like when I'm writing something and I'm like, oh, this feels like the thing I want for me. And it's all in pieces, so I'll write like a verse in January and then won't be able to get the chorus until December that year. So they're like, it's very broken up, and it's almost like piecing together like all these things. So it becomes like, especially on this bunch of songs, it's like very, and it makes like this strange feeling with the lyrics, because you're sort of writing with so much life in between it, which is not typical, not for me anyway, my usual experience of like writing with a band from, a young age. But it's, I don't know, it's definitely a bit more chaotic, and it's very insular, and it's spread out, which is odd for songwriting.
It would seem to me that on your side of things, like we hear it as the finished piece. We don't hear all the space in between. But at the same time, it's almost surprising that it doesn't feel disjointed. And I don't even know if you feel like it's disjointed. Like again, you know, like this was here and this was months later here. Like is that part, like, do you hear it like that?
It doesn't feel disjointed to me, because I think like I said, I know what I'm looking for. I know what I want to, I know how it makes me feel like in my chest and my stomach and my whole, I know what I want to get across. So it doesn't feel disjointed, but it certainly feels very, it does in the process a little bit, where you're like, fuck, like what if does this verse go with this? Or like it does become a little bit stressful, particularly for people around me, like Sammy that did it, and Sierra, my wife, where it's like, I'm like, what about this thing with this? And it's all very, yeah, but it ends up not being very disjointed in the end. It becomes a finished product, and that's a testament to Sammy, the producer.
Right, which you worked with. So what is it about Sammy? Like, because you're working with Sammy again this time around. Like, is that just like the friendship relation? I mean, is there anything specifically special?
I mean, I like Sam because he's great. He will allow that process to happen and get me to the end product in the most, what's the word? Like very, he'll sort of coach me there, like sort of baby me to get there in a good way. And he's also like, a best friend, and we met and made those songs not knowing, I didn't really know, I haven't had that like one-on-one with a producer writer just on my own before. So once I found that, I sort of just held on to it. And I have written with other people, like with other producers and stuff, and maybe in the future it'll happen. But just like I said, it's very, at least to me, I know to other people listen to it, probably sounds like other, another song coming out. But for me, it's a very specific feeling, and I've tried to replicate that with other people, and it's hard. And Sam's is down for the process. He'll wait. He'll be like, it's not gonna, if it doesn't come today, we'll get it another day. It'll be fine. And I think he just gets it. He gets it really, on a sonic level and on a personal level, and like emotionally, he just understands it, which obviously is amazing.
Yeah, I think, as just a music fan and sort of knowing deep catalogs and rock history and pop history and all that stuff, I appreciate, I don't know, old style purist in me, I guess is what I'm getting. I appreciate when I see one producer name, that thing, because it's so often these days, especially when you start getting way more into the pop world, but not just that, it's 30 songwriters a song, 10 producers a track, just whatever. And again, sometimes that's great, and sometimes you get amazing stuff out of that. But I love knowing like this is one meeting of the minds.
Yeah, it is cool, and I think that's probably what, it's a romantic relationship in that way. Like, it's romanticized to be like, let's just have a one-on-one. With the band, it's very, there is a lot of people on the songs, especially with the band, and then other people, and then like a few producers, which is rad. And I also, like you just said, the same way you like listening to songs with a bunch of producers as well, I actually like working that way too. I like doing it that way, which is why I love stepping into the role of the band, But it is nice to have that one-on-one, it's like that sort of, I don't know, you get to have that very personal relationship. It's cool.
Yeah, it's like one complete vision. I guess that's,
Yeah.
that's what I like about it. And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Luke Hemmings. Well, let's hear about this. So we got this single, Shakes. And I love that it's not a contradiction, but it's almost like you are going, the vocals and the music are like two different speeds. Like you got this music that just moves and moves and moves while your vocals are kind of drifting over it. Do you find that anything drives your melody, anything that you're attracted to when you're coming up with top line vocal?
Well, for this one, I've been really trying to, I think, because especially the fir my first album, and just by the way I write in general, I'm very I can like give too many details, I think, and I was really trying on this process to like have simple choruses, like how can we get across the same emotion, if not more, with less words, I think. And that was a really big challenge. But vocally, I think this one, I was trying a lot, especially on Shakes, and there's a few other songs that do it as well on the project, where I was pitching around my vocal and I was getting somehow more emotion out of it. So that stack of vocals in the chorus is, obviously I'm on top of it unprocessed too, or not pitched. And then behind that, there's a pitch vocal. And I don't know what it is. It gave like this weird, not human element that I really loved. But melodically, I think it's just whatever feels right. It just like, I want it to be dreamy. I want it to be like, not too, I don't know, not too, I don't know what the word is, in the pocket or something. I don't know what the word, not too like rigid. I like the flowing melodies that are like, I don't know, almost feel like a nursery rhyme.
When I look back on that record from a few years ago, the solo record, you talked about like, what is it? The enforced stillness and a place of reflection on the past 10 years of your life. Now we move forward. Do you find similarly that anything is sort of directing this latest set?
Yeah, I think a big theme was getting to my late 20s, and I think anyone that has been there is, stuff sort of starts to get a bit real, I suppose, for, lack of a better word. And I remember, it's funny because thinking back, because I've been thinking about like, how the feeling has changed from that first album. And the first album was very, like I said, at home, trying to figure out whatever the last 10 years were within me. And it's all very from my perspective, and like trying to understand the world, but from a very like isolated, melancholy, like kind of depressing place, because the whole world's, fucked. It's like a really weird place to be. Like everyone can relate to that and resonate with that. And the next one I was writing like very on planes and hotel rooms, like, you know, you next to the bed, it's like the little thing in the hotel room with the shitty pencil that you can use. And I think that's where all the piecing together came from. And it was funny because looking back, it has this same loneliness to it, but in such a different way. Like when we were touring so much with the band and I spent a lot of time on vocal rest where like you don't speak throughout the day. So it becomes like really like lonely. And like, you kind of just, I'm just with my headphones in and walk around the cities. Like you're in a new city every day. And I think I was finding that same feeling, but surrounded by like the most, like lots of people playing on stage and like being in a hotel room, but like looking out the window and then like walking through, obviously through city streets and stuff like that. So it was funny that it was the same feeling, but in such a different environment. Yeah. So maybe that's definitely a theme of like that. I don't know, all constantly on the move, but feeling lonely, wanted to go home. So it's funny how that happened.
I mean, that's been said for years, decades, how funny that is that, you know, here you are each night in front of tens of thousands of people. And it's one of the loneliest things you can do is touring in a successful band or something like that. But it also makes a lot more sense how I was describing Shakes a minute ago with that movement on one side and this floating on the other, because when you're walking through a city silently, you know, with the earbud, like that's exactly the feeling I get too.
Oh, good. That's what we're going for. You know, I was really trying to get that, I don't know, that melancholy feeling. Everyone's, I mean, anyone that sort of like felt that, you try to convey that, you know, in a song is difficult. Like a lot of my favorite artists do that, you know, like, I don't know, anything by Damon Albarn. Or,
I was just thinking of Everyday Robots by Damon Albarn when I said that.
Oh, rad. Yeah, like him and, you know, there's plenty of other people like Beach House. Like that sort of, it depends on what mood you're in. Like what how the emotion is dictated in the song, which I think is a really cool, like I was watching a lot of movies like Lost in Translation and Paris, Texas, and like all these movies where it's like, these are kind of depressing, but then if you're in a good mood, it's kind of like, oh, this is beautiful. This is just real life. So I was really trying to, you know, it's very artsy fartsy, but that's what I was trying to get across.
Nailed it. Seriously. As you're saying it more and more, I hear it and I see it and I'm like, yep, that's it. That's
Hell
the
yeah.
feeling I had.
Thank you. Oh yeah.
It's also, you know, just playing with words, whatever set comes out next is technically your sophomore set, which you've been through before.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you think of it in those terms or whatever, but like comparing whatever version of sophomoreness and you know, for the things that can mean versus, you know, what it meant in the past when you did it the first time.
I hadn't really thought about it in that way, because I think it's, well, great. Now maybe I will think of it like that. But I mean, you know, sophomore album is notoriously a, you know, not fun ride usually, or a more difficult process, I should say. But this, I don't know. I just felt like, I feel like I understand. The first album, I was trying to figure out what the sound was and what is it? Why am I doing this? And I feel like I know what that is now. So it's a different, it feels a bit different to me. Like, I sort of know what it is and why it is. Like, what's the point of even doing this? And I have something to say, you know, I feel on my own, I have something to say. And that first album, I knew I had something to say, but I wasn't, it took me a long time to get there. You know, a long time of like, you know, why am I doing this? Like, and COVID sort of like exacerbated those feelings, obviously. I don't know. I don't have the sophomore jitters, I suppose.
It does sound quite the opposite too. I mean, I've said this a lot of times before on this series. Like, I say that my favorite albums are sophomore albums, because, you know, and I mean that literally and metaphorically too, you know, because what that can mean is a lot of times, like, you know, as they say, you get your whole life to write that first record and you put all your good stuff in there and suddenly it's time to do another one if you're lucky enough. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's the barrel's empty.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so what happens when you've got nothing? What happens when you've really got to, you know, show yourself? Whether or not it's successful, I think I always appreciate those records a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think for me, it just got a bit more streamlined on these. You know, what did I like about the first thing I did? And like, what didn't I like? And I think I just, the hope in, you know, making more and more things is that you get closer to what the the reason you're doing it and the sound of it, it sort of just comes a bit more, becomes like more of a well-oiled machine of like, this is what it is. And the first album was like, this is what it is, and this is what it is, and maybe it's like this, which I love, but this one has like a feeling and a sound, you know? This next bunch of songs is very, for me, more streamlined and like, this is what it is.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Luke Hemmings.
You've been very busy in the past year. Like, were you writing these, recording these on and off between tour?
Yes. Yeah. So we'd have like a few months on the road, and then I would go to the Shakes was written in New York. So I was listening to a lot of like the LCD Sound System and like even 90s stuff of like Cocktail Twins and The Verve and stuff like that. And not all those are from New York, obviously, but for me, that just makes me think of like, and also after knowing what I was sort of trying to get into, which is like that melancholy, like lonely, but surrounded by people. And that's like the most New York thing ever, you know? And I really wanted to go right there because I'd never written there before. So this was written there. And I was doing it in breaks of tours and like, you know, we had a couple months off at the start of the whatever year it was, what year you're in, 2024. So it was started like 2022 after like a big US run, I think. But I'm sort of always writing. So, and then like other bits were written like on a plane to fucking somewhere, you know, on a, like I remember writing stuff on a plane, like in notes and like people, when you're doing stuff on planes, people are like, and you're like singing a little bit and you're writing stuff down. They're like, what is that guy doing? This is
You're
like a
the
shock.
crazy guy on the plane, and it doesn't even matter if it sounds good.
Yeah. And it's very like a lot of the, so that's what I mean. Like bits are, they're in bits and pieces, you know? So, but it was in gaps of tour. I think it started in like late 2022 or something like that.
Interesting. It was in New York when I first heard Shakes too, when your team sent it over to me.
Oh, there you go.
It's just everything lining. You've lined this up so perfectly for me.
That's why we do it. Yeah. Just line it up for you.
It's always about the fans with you guys. I get it. I, by the way, I watched the documentary that came out just recently. I watched that last night before I so enjoyed that. It's really fun watching you guys put the skits together and the characters and how you produce the stage show and the dice. I like people arguing about the dice, your fans online, especially because you broke your rule right away. That was.
The dice is maybe one of the best things we've ever come up with as a band. It's just bloody, it's such a good idea. I mean, I'll stand by that. That's gonna be like our thing. Like the, well, maybe not quite as iconic as that, but like the, we wanted our like Hell's Bells AC/DC thing where they come out and do that, or like the For Those About to Rock Cannons. Like we were trying to get that, and we're not quite there yet. But you know, with this dice, maybe we'll get a bit more budget. You know, we get some bigger dice, maybe more of them, maybe they explode. I don't know.
I like where your head's at on this one. But I did, I laughed at that because you explain the rules, you say, and whatever it lands on, we'll play. And then we see it come back to the stage and you're like, nope. You roll it.
Well, some of those songs in there where we're like, oh, fans are gonna love this one. They've been asking for years. And then we play it, and then you see it in their faces, and they're like, oh, this is why they don't play it. And you're like, it's just funny. You can tell they're like, oh, maybe I didn't like this as much as I thought I did, which is a funny feeling on stage.
I have wondered that, like, because I've got favorite bands, and when you've got favorite bands and you know all the songs or whatever, you know, it's like, of course, you'll get into the B-sides or the deep tracks or the soundtrack. It's like, man, why don't they ever play that? Why don't they ever play that? And I've often wondered what that was like from the artist's point of view, because you see something that we never see, and that's you see a collective face from the stage. And like, that's got to be. I don't know if that's surreal or just something that comes natural or something you get used to, but that's it's definitely something that no one else has a, you know, sort of perception on, I guess.
It's a funny feeling because I'm such a, I mean, from your conversations with me, you can probably tell I'm a bit, definitely more of like an introvert person. And it's funny because like playing in front of a lot of people is a lot easier because you're right, it becomes like a collective face until so you like start moving as one with the audience, you know. But anything like small is like way scarier, honestly. Like small, even like personally, like a personal gathering that small is way more difficult. But it is funny. It's funny when you can, it's, you go to different places, different countries, different cities, and people like different things. And it's like they'll love this song in America, anywhere. And then you go to, Amsterdam, and they don't like it, or they don't like it as much. And you have to like keep a record of that in your brain and be like, what do you think these people are gonna like? And then, especially with the dice, some of those were like, some of them were like so good, and some of them were like not good, depending on the night. So it was very, I don't know. It made the show more exciting.
Something for the bootlegs, you know. It's
Yeah, exactly.
what's happening? So, what does the rest of the year look like? I mean, you concentrate yourself, or are you still working with the guy? Like, how does that? What's the work-life balance here?
Yeah, we just had that when that fifth album came out, we did two world tours back to back, and after that, everyone was sort of like, maybe let's take a couple months off, and everyone has their things. Like Michael had a baby, Ashton does solo stuff, Callum does whatever Callum does. He'll be doing something creative, or even just spending time with family, So we all sort of were like, let's just take like a little second. If you want to do some solo stuff, then just let us know when. So there's like conversations that go into it, and the band will make music at some point this year. I don't know if it'll come out this year, but we will definitely make music like towards the end of the year, I'd say. But yeah, it's just like a conversation,
Well, I love what you guys do. I especially love hearing this. And especially, like I said, you seriously did hit on all the moods that I love.
Hell yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, congrats on this. And it's always great talking to you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much. We'll chat when the tunes come out, the rest of the tunes.
Let's do round two, round three, I guess.
Yeah, round three. Hell yeah.
My thanks to Luke. The new single is called Shakes. Thanks to you, as always, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You can grab us 3 times a week when you subscribe. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, new interviews. Catch us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classic tracks from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured classics from The Who, The Beach Boys, The Cars, Corinne Bailey Rae, Porno for Pyros, David Bowie, Blondie, Jenny Lewis, Beavis Wackadoo, Waxahachie, Steve Earle, Gillian Welch, Pixies, Idols, LCD Sound System, The Foo Fighters, Heartless Bastards, Lucy Rose, Jadeoheads, Slater Kinney, Grace Cummings, John Prine, Pavement, and my interview with actor Michael Shannon. He also dropped by with his buddy Jason Narduzzi. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
In COVID, doing a lot of Zooms, trying to get some vibe happening. I was like, this is going to be the Zoom room.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.